Good morning. It's great to be with you all. I'm normally not here on Memorial Day weekend. I have an annual trip with my college buddies, but I was in Israel for 10 days. I'll be in D.C. for a week, so I think my times away have passed for the year, as it should be. So I'm home enjoying my family this weekend and grateful to be with my church family today. And you know, Christina mentioned Memorial Day, for me, for sure, has always, this is on the lighter side of Memorial Day, has always felt like a transition. I know that summer doesn't officially start for a couple more weeks, but Memorial Day for me has always felt like the transition from spring to summer, and I think today kind of, in this time, signifies a transition. I'm going to wrap up our series on prayer this morning, and then next week we're going to start our summer series, which we're going to go through the book of Colossians together this summer. And so we're in Colossians as a preview this morning for this next series. But I want to wrap up prayer this morning. And we've spent 4 weeks, this is now our fifth week, looking at prayer through the eyes of Jesus. We looked at Jesus' own ministry of prayer, his own experience with prayer. We looked, of course, for 3 weeks at his famous prayer, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And so what remains today for me is, having heard from Jesus, I have a one-word charge for you today, and it's this: pray. Okay? We've talked about prayer, we've studied prayer, and now I want to spend the entire day saying one word to you, which is this: pray. Engage in a life of prayer. And I'm going to get really concrete and practical today. Some of you will probably give me grief for how practical I get. I'm totally fine with that. But I don't want us to leave this series with some ideas about prayer in our minds. I want us to leave with a goal for becoming men and women of prayer. And so that's what I want to do this morning. And so we're going to look at just one single verse. I'm only going to spend about 5 to 10 minutes on this verse, and then I'm going to get really nitty-gritty and try to give you some ways that you can be praying this summer. All right? So the verse is verse 2, Colossians 4. Here it is. I'm reading from the NIV. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." That's our verse. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I think that verse really sums up really well what I want to say as we wrap up this series. There's three words in that verse that I think are the key words, and I want to focus on those three words. Just talk us through each of those words, and then I'm going to give us some concrete ideas for the summer. All right, so let's take a look. First word that I find in my translation is the word devote. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. The ESV says it this way: continue steadfastly in prayer. The Greek word behind our English devote means to continue to do something with intense effort, to keep on, to persist in, even despite difficulty. Okay? The word pops up in a lot of other places when people are talking about prayer. Here's one that you would know: rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Same word, be constant in prayer. Or very famously, Ephesians 6, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying." Those four words is one Greek word, our same Greek word: always keep on praying. Devote yourselves. So the Christian life is a life of prayer. There's no way around it. Consistent, persistent, enduring prayer. Jesus' life was a life of devotion to prayer. And if we are going to be Christ followers, Christians, our lives are to be devoted to prayer. It's something we persist in, something that we are constant in, something that we always keep on doing. And so before I move past that word, I want you just to think of your life right now and ask yourself, at this time in your life, would you say of yourself, I live a life that is devoted to prayer? That there is a persistent, there is a consistent, there is a constant life of prayer going on in me. And if so, great. If not, I'm going to give you some ideas today for how you might move in that direction. So there's the first word. He says, devote yourselves. And then he gives us two postures that we're supposed to have in prayer. And I think these two postures really sum up what prayer is all about. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. Okay, those are the two postures that we're called to in prayer. So let me just talk about those two and we'll wrap up with this verse. First, he says, I want you to be watchful in prayer. Now, what does that even mean? What does it mean, be watchful? He's saying, stay awake. There's an alertness to your praying life that I'm calling you into. I want you to be awake to certain realities in life through your praying, okay? Again, the Ephesians 6:18, with this in mind, Paul says, be alert. Now, who can tell me what is the context of this verse? What is Paul talking about in Ephesians 6? Someone throw it out. Warfare. Thank you, Linda. Spiritual warfare, right? Our battle's not against flesh and blood, so put on the full armor of God, right? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and he ends that armor with, and pray at all times for all the saints. Be alert. All that to say, the context is, we are living a life that is a spiritual battle. The Christian life is not a cruise ship, okay? It's a battle. We are engaged in a battle with a spiritual enemy. And if our lives are comfortable right now, there's someone we know whose life is really uncomfortable, who desperately needs our prayers. And so the call is, stay awake to that. Be alert like a soldier is alert, knowing that there's a battle going on. Whether you need that for your own life or whether those around you need you to be alert for their sakes through prayer. Of course, when we think of staying awake in prayer, I think the passage that most comes to mind is the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And Jesus uses this same word several times, right? He goes into the garden. He's with his closest three, Peter, James, and John. We know that the soldiers are going to come in a couple minutes. And Jesus says to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me through prayer, I think he'd say. He goes off and prays by himself. He comes back, returning to his disciples. He found them sleeping. Could you, men, not keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked? Watch, there's three times actually, and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, is weak. So these soldiers are about to come. These men are about to experience temptation. Jesus is experiencing temptation. He says, you've got to stay awake. Pray so that when this temptation happens, you will not fail. And they fail in prayer. And when the temptation comes, they fail in life. And what happens when those soldiers come? They all scatter and flee and leave Jesus alone. And of course, we know what Peter did that morning in denying Jesus three times. So they failed in prayer. They failed to be watchful and awake. And because of that, they failed when the moment came. And I relate to them in this. I mean, I wonder, as you think about your life of prayer, I would guess many of us in the room, we relate to the disciples here. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to pray. I want to pray. The spirit is there, but man, the flesh is weak, and my prayer life is a sleepy prayer life. I mean, literally, I fall asleep half the time I start praying. But there's a watchfulness that we're to have when we pray. And now let's look at the last word. Not just being watchful, but he also says, and being thankful. And thankful, I think, feels very different from watchful. I think thankful is an important complement, kind of the refreshing complement to watchful. And there's a ton of passages that talk about being thankful in general, rejoicing always, giving thanks in all circumstances, specifically being thankful in prayer. Maybe most famously, Paul says this, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's our word, present your requests to God. You know what the antidote to anxiety is? Any of you struggle with anxiety in this room? Yeah? Oh, I actually got some hands. Thank you, guys. Wow. The antidote to anxiety, I know anxiety is a little more complex than this, but the spiritual antidote to anxiety is praying with thanksgiving. Anxiety and gratitude don't exist together very well. And so gratitude and thanksgiving is this great antidote that we have to the anxiety that we experience. And so being watchful, being thankful, the thankfulness acknowledges, you know, life is not just a spiritual battle. Life is not just about engaging in this fight and being responsible and going through the work of this battle. The reality is God has actually already won the battle. He's already dealt the decisive blow. We already have victory. And so we don't just walk around like soldiers looking out for the enemy. We also get to walk around life as God's kids, right? And we've talked a lot about that. We've got this Heavenly Father who has rescued us, who has saved us. And now we walk around in His grace and His forgiveness and the fact that there is no condemnation. And we receive all these amazing blessings from Him every day. Blessings of food and family and friends and good work to do. And so the thankfulness acknowledges all of that. And I think it's really important to keep those two postures together, that life is a battle and that we're called to be watchful. And yet at the same time, life is a great blessing. And we're invited into it to be God's kids who are playful and thankful because they've got this Heavenly Father who's got everything under control and He's protecting them and He's going to work good things for them. And so there's this balance of watchfulness and thankfulness. And prayer is one of the places where we develop those habits of the heart, okay? Those are habits, right? Those are postures. Those are virtues of our hearts, being watchful, being thankful. And prayer is one of those places where we develop those habits so that we can step into the day as men and women who stand firm in this battle, who stand for truth and justice and mercy and service, and yet at the same time can be children and step into days playful, delighting in what our Father provides for us. Prayer is that place where we develop those habits of the heart. So I would encourage you, just look at that verse again. I'm done talking through it. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Maybe there's one of those words that is for you this morning. Maybe God has one of those specific words in mind for you. Maybe you need to persist. And you realize, man, I need to devote myself to this. Maybe there's a watchfulness that you're feeling called to. And maybe there's a thankfulness. But I invite you just to spend time today, maybe even as I'm talking, especially if I get boring later on, you can just spend time with the Lord. God, what word do you have for me in this that I need to hear at this season in my life? All right, so there's our verse. That's the last of the verses that I want to talk about on prayer. So I'm going to spend the rest of the time saying this. You've heard it. Now pray. Devote yourself to prayer. Become a man or a woman of prayer. And my challenge is this, is in this series, if God has been moving at all, as if He's been stirring it all in your hearts, then do not leave this series without doing something about it, without deciding to change the way you do this. My prayer throughout this has not been that you would leave this with some great ideas about prayer. My prayer is that we as a community would become a house of prayer, which is what God wants for His house. And I've been thinking a lot this week about the analogy between spiritual health and physical health, okay? So let me just talk about physical health for a second. How do you become a physically healthy person? Well, you do that by developing the habits and practices that make your body physically healthy. Okay, and you know this, but let me just tease this out a little bit, because I think we get that in the physical life, but sometimes we forget that that's important in the spiritual life too. So some of you right now, if you're honest, if you were to get on a scale right now and weigh yourself, you would say, I'm somewhere between 20 and 50 pounds overweight, okay? Some of us in this room would get on a scale and say we're about 20 pounds underweight, okay? So wherever you find yourself, it doesn't matter, but Imagine going through physical health this way. You get on the scale and you go, okay, I'm 30 pounds overweight. What am I going to do about this? I'm gonna read a book about weight loss. And that would be a great thing to do. So you read this book. There's some great ideas about, and you read it. It takes you 2 weeks to read it. You finish this book. You've soaked it in. And you get back on the scale, and you're still 30 pounds overweight. And you're like, what gives? You're like, no, I need to have some conversations with people about losing weight. And so you get some friends together. You have like five different dinners where you bring people to your home. And you have these great conversations about weight loss. 2 weeks later, you get back on the scale, and now you're, 35 pounds overweight. What gives, right? Well, we all know what gives. You don't lose weight or gain weight by reading books about it or having conversations. You do it by going on runs, by eating healthy, by getting into the gym and lifting weights. That's how it works. And it's not that different in the spiritual life. The books are important. The conversations are important. But ultimately, you have to develop the habits and the practices by which God transforms your heart and changes you, and in particularly in prayer. The way you grow in prayer is by praying and letting God shape your heart, letting the Spirit work in you in those times of prayer. So with that analogy, my question to leave you with, and I want you to think of this summer as a good season to do this in. It's kind of this nice carved out time where we have maybe to do something different, to make a transition, is simply this: what would it look like for you to commit yourself to a life of prayer this summer? What would that look like for you? And I'm going to throw out a bunch of options right now. That's how I'm going to end this thing. Real concrete. Some of you, like I said, you're going to be like, you just went there. I can't believe you just went there. But I'm going to go there, okay? I'm going to get nitty gritty as much as I know how. And my disclaimer to all this is, prayer is such a personal thing, and there's no one way to do it. And so what I'm going to do is throw out options, windows into various ways to do this. And you have to decide what makes sense for me. But I promise, whatever that is for you, we all need two things when it comes to prayer. And that's how I'm going to shape the rest of my comments. We all need two things. We all need discipline when it comes to prayer, and we all need freedom when it comes to prayer. I don't care who you are. Those two qualities are necessary in prayer. Okay, we need discipline. We need a plan. I even hate to say these words in prayer. A strategy, an approach, whatever you want to say, a schedule. And we also need freedom. This is a relationship with God that we're trying to foster. And I think we need both of those. Okay, so you ready? Can I dive into this? All right, so let's start on the discipline end because it's much more fun to end on the freedom side of things. I want you to think of what is the discipline of prayer? What ought that to look like for me this summer? And first, I would start with the discipline of time. Okay, what are those times during the week that I want to carve out to be with God in prayer? And I know that, Paul says pray without ceasing, right? Throughout the day, we are praying. And before we go into a meeting, maybe we're throwing up a prayer. While we're driving the car, we're praying. And that is, I'm not dismissing that at all. But what we do see Jesus doing, I'm sure he did that, but he also would step away for specific times of prayer. And so what I want to invite you into is the discipline of saying, what would those times be for me? And I want you right now to think of your weekly calendar, what it looks like in the summertime. And some of you do this great. This will be old hat for many of you in this room. But if this is new to you, unless it gets to a calendar level, my experience is it just doesn't happen. Okay, again, those of you who exercise, you probably have it built into your calendars. You know Tuesday morning is when I go to the gym. Thursday after work is when I go for a run, whatever that is. When would those times be for you? Can you imagine, what are the natural times that I could be intentional to carve out some space, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, to be with God? I would encourage you the discipline of actually getting it into your schedule that you can identify. I'm not just saying, I want to pray. I'm saying, these are the times that I'm committing to pray. Okay? Some of you, that feels a little legalistic. I just know myself. If it doesn't get to that level, it doesn't happen. So what are those times? And then what I want to spend time thinking about is what would be an approach to prayer this summer that you think would be fruitful? Maybe something you're already doing, or maybe you want to try something different. And I'm going to throw out a bunch of approaches. I don't have a clock. What time is it right now? Oh, so much time. This is great. This is great. Okay. 10 till 10, right? Just making sure. Okay. What's that?
It's a holiday,
yeah. We don't live by time. We're in Iranian time today, right? We were talking about that last week. You can go forever. I'm going to give you about five different approaches to prayer that I would invite you to consider. All right, here's the first one. It's pairing prayer with Scripture. And this is the one that probably I've done most throughout my life. Basically, it's letting Scripture shape your prayers. So it's getting time away and spending some time in the Word of God, and then letting what you learned there, what ideas are there, letting those shape your prayers, okay? So that prayer and God's Word are very connected. So let me just throw out an example. This is kind of an easy one. There's harder ones than this, but you can do this with any passage. Let's take Psalm 23. Let's take the first couple verses. The Lord is my shepherd. So let's say you're sitting down in the morning and you open your Bible and you're reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, so you read that entire psalm. That's obviously just the beginning. And then letting that psalm shape your prayers. So for me, that might look something like, Lord, I need you to be a shepherd to me today. Here's some of the things that are in my day, and I need a shepherd. I need someone to guide me in this. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm frustrated. God, would you lead me to your green pastures, to your quiet waters? Would you restore my soul? I need some restoring today. Or maybe there's temptation in my life, and I know what that is. God, would you guide me in paths of righteousness? God, protect me from this sin that I tend to fall into, this temptation I'm experiencing. Protect me. Or maybe I read this, and then someone comes to mind, and I pray this for a friend or a family member. Would you protect her? Would you lead him to quiet waters? Okay? Pretty simple, but for me, reading the Bible and prayer are almost inseparable exercises. And the beauty of doing it this way is one, your prayers are informed by Scripture. They're in line with Scripture. And the second thing is, it keeps your Bible reading from being merely academic. It keeps your Bible reading personal, related to your actual life, which is what the Bible is intended to do. So maybe this summer you go, I want to do that. I'm going to spend some time in the Word, and I'm going to see what's there, and I'm going to let that shape what I pray. Here's another one. Some of you are not going to like this. Some of you are going to love this. Acts. Okay? I'm not going to raise your hand. Who doesn't know about the Acts prayer? So Acts is I don't know who created Acts, but it's a way of praying that kind of takes you through some postures in life. And let me take him through them. If you don't know this, the A is for adoration, spending time just adoring who God is, thinking about and naming him some of the great things of who he is, his qualities. The C is, of course, for confession, that we, as we see how great he is, we acknowledge our faults and we actually spend time doing that with God. The T is for thanksgiving, looking around at the blessings that he's brought into our lives each day and thanking him for that. And then the S is supplication, which is a fancy word for request. What are the things we need today? Now, I will confess that in a relationship, we don't tend to go through Acts, right? I don't come home from work and start, my wife would love this, but I don't start with A. Honey, here's three things I really appreciate about you today, and here's three confessions. So I know that this is a little wooden. But I will say this, and for those of you who do this, I would guess could testify to this. Those are great things to do. In my life, I need a regular rhythm of adoring who God is. I need a regular rhythm of confession. I need a regular rhythm of gratitude. I need to be bringing requests. So this is a structure that can shape my heart and these things that are really important to do. And if you don't know where to start in prayer, it's a great one just to give you some structure to kind of know what to do in that silent time when you don't know what else to do. All right. Here's another one. Prayer cards. So this is the one that I've committed to this summer. I've never done this before, and I read a book on prayer, and the author suggested this, and I'm very excited about this. So this for me starts tomorrow, okay? So I'm going to show you some things. I haven't been doing this. I'm just about to start this. So this is basically using 3x5 cards, that's what I'm going to use, as a way of praying through the aspects of your life. So here's how this, I'm going to get real specific. So I'm going to have basically a prayer card for every issue or person in my life that I want to, I'll just describe. So I have 3 daughters and a wife and myself. That's 5 of us. I'm going to do this Monday through Friday. So each of us gets 1 prayer card per person. I get one. My wife gets one. So let me just, here it is. So Cora is our middle girl. She's going to turn 3 in July. Here's her card. We have theme verses for our 3 daughters. This is one of my favorite verses. So this is the front. Many of you know this prayer. So I want to be regularly praying this for her. And then on the back of her card, I've just started writing some of the things that are on my heart. Carrie's going to add to this. Top left says, being seen and known. That's one of our prayers for Cora. Cora is a middle child living in the shadow of a very strong and verbal older sister and a very cute little sister. And so we want to make sure that she is seen and that she feels known by us and by God. And so that's one of my prayers. Top right, her relationship with her older sister is something that I regularly get to watch, and I have prayers about that. She gets scared at night. I want God to protect her little mind. She's going to start preschool next year and start engaging in more friends, and I'm praying for that. Obviously, I want her to have an early love for Jesus. So prayer, Cora gets a prayer once a week from me. There's a card, okay? And then, so those are the only individuals who get a card all to themselves, is my immediate family. And this is what the book suggests. This is not me doing this. And then different issues, each will get a card. So, for instance, my home group. We have a home group. That will get 1 card, home group and the people's names and maybe some prayers for them. My Axios groups. I want to have a non-Christian card of people in my life who don't know Jesus, who I want to be praying for regularly. I want to have a ministries card, ministries that Carrie and I think about, care about. I'll show you. Here's one. Here's some ministries. Many of you are familiar with those ministries. I'm going to be honest right now. We support lots of ministries. I almost never pray for the ministries I support. That's pretty sad. And the reason is I don't have a regular plan in place. And so there's a card, and they're all there, so sometimes they're not all going to get prayed for, but they're there. And so what's going to happen is I'm just going to do 2 cards a day, okay? So my family cards, they get once a week. Some cards will only get once every other week. And so on Monday it'll be Cora and Ministries card. Next one it'll be, maybe it'll be Dell, and it'll be Non-Christians card, okay? So I'm just choosing 2 that feels doable to me. And it feels like a way to be intentional for the things that I want to be praying about. What I love about this is there's a self-accountability to this. How many of us say to one another in this room, I'll keep you in my prayers, right? I'll be praying for you. How many of us do that regularly? Okay, this is a way to do that regularly for me. I like the card idea. Sometimes when I just have a prayer list, seeing it all in one spot is a little overwhelming. So if you're kind of ADD, it's nice to have 1 thing in front of your face, you know? And the other thing just about praying for other people, and I'll say this, when we start praying for people, I believe that God starts working, but the first way he starts working is in us. And when I'm regularly praying for someone, I interact with them differently. If there are things that I've been asking God for in their life, when I see them, I am bolder in talking to them. I'm watching for, God, are you at work in this way? So it changes the way I relate. And oftentimes, I'm sure you found, you start praying for someone, and then God says, you're going to be the answer to your own prayer, right? But the act of prayer is one of the ways we come into what God wants to do for that person. So I think that's a great way. Two more. I'll be quick with these. Journaling, I think, is a great way. Many of you do this, but sometimes when we're in our heads, our minds are all over the place. And so just being able to write and kind of just start the day with, gosh, here's what's in my heart, Lord. I want to bring what's in my heart before you and give it to you and then release it to you. And I want to offer these prayers and these petitions to you. But journaling can be a great way to do that. And then one more. There's just various prayer tools out there that you can engage if you just need some help. My wife, she's only one day a week now, but she was working 4 days a week, and she had a long commute. And so the time in the car was a good opportunity to pray. And so she used something, some of you know this, called Pray As You Go. And you can find it on iTunes, Pray As You Go. But it basically, someone walks you through about a 10-minute process where there's some music, there's some silence, and there'll always be scripture reading, and it kind of invites you to imagine the passage, and then out of that says, what is it that you need to be praying for? And it's basically about a 10-15 minute kind of lead you through, and if you're in the car a lot, that's a great way to do that, okay? So those are five very tangible ways that you can do this. Now, how many of you are kind of frustrated with me right now? Anybody feel like, gosh, this feels so formulaic? Like, we've all heard this before. I just want to speak to that. I think there's something in us when it comes to the spiritual life that we really value freedom, we really value authenticity, and especially with something like prayer, we're like, shouldn't it just feel natural? Like, shouldn't it just be something? You can't structure that. It's got to be something now. Shouldn't it be just something that just kind of flows, you know? The problem for me, I'm just speaking to myself, but when I wake up in the morning, what naturally flows out of my heart is not always great things. So if I just let what naturally flows happen, that's not going to lead to a life of holiness. And so what I need to do is take that heart and through some discipline and maybe some structures, present it to God and let Him do His work so that He begins to shape what naturally flows so that it's more in line with His will. So that's just me speaking of myself. All right, there's the discipline side. Did I lose this? Let me leave you with some freedom in this. And having said all that, I want to again say, as you all know this, prayer is not a system. Prayer is not a program. Prayer is about a relationship with the living God. And that means because each one of us is unique and because God's relationship with each one of us is unique, that prayer is going to look different for each one of us. I have three daughters, and I can already see the different personalities, and I can already tell my relationship with each one of them is going to be unique and different. And certainly that's how I think God approaches us as unique individuals. And so I just want to, my last words, I want to be words of freedom. And certainly this, do not compare yourself with other people in their prayer lives. Don't think that because so-and-so gets up at this time of the day and does these six things, that's what it's got to be for me. There's got to be this great freedom to navigate with God. God, what are you calling me to do? And it doesn't matter what these people are doing. I don't want to compare. But what is it that you have for me? And so my encouragement in that, in prayer for you, is this. Know yourself when it comes to prayer. And what I mean by that is know how you're wired. Know what works for you. Just the personality, the shape and wiring that God has given you, and what is going to fit with your wiring. Don't try to fit someone else's wiring. Know yourself. And move accordingly. So let me give you a couple of examples. Some of you, praying inside will be a great way. Some of you have a favorite chair or a favorite room or a favorite desk in the house that is just the perfect indoor space that brings you to a place of quietness where you can engage God. Some of you are outdoor people. You need to be out in nature. And being out in nature reminds you of who God is. It's a freer space. It's a vaster space. It's much more conducive for you to pray to God. That's great. Know yourself. Some of you are stationary people. To quiet your mind, you need to quiet your body. Some of you are mobile people. If you sit still in a quiet room, that's just a disaster for you, okay? I was talking to Mark about this week, and he, every Monday, he goes down to the beach, and he walks for a couple hours. And five or six years ago, he discovered that the process of walking was such a helpful, fruitful way to keep his mind engaged with God. Know yourself. Some of you can do this in your head. Some of you need to put it on paper or your mind goes crazy. Some of you need to speak it out loud. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, I've gotten in trouble so many times because I'm an outside person, and sometimes I need to speak out loud, and I've been caught looking crazy so many times. Like, truly, like it happens all the time, but I need to sometimes talk out loud. Know yourself in that. Those are all great things. Some of you, it's better not to have any background. Some of you, worship music is a great way. If I have worship music on, I cannot pray. That doesn't work for me. But for some of you, that's a great way to pray. Of course, some of you are morning people. Some of you are evening people. I'm a morning person. The first 10 minutes of my day are the most alert I will ever be. It's just true. I wake up and it's there. I'm ready to go. So for me, prayer and scripture is the first thing that I want to do. My wife, evening person, okay? So her best times of prayer are probably something like mid-morning, going for a walk after she's woken up, and know yourself in all of this. There's great freedom in all this. You get to enjoy it. So know yourself and do what works for you. Some of you are head people. You work in the realm of ideas. Some of you are tactile. You're artists. I know some of you who use something like prayer beads, you know, where you can like take a certain prayer that you want to pray for someone, and there's some tactile reminder, and then you move on to the next thing, okay? Now, some of you freak out because that sounds Catholic. That's okay, all right? I'm just talking about a learning style, okay? These are great ways. If that works, I would say that's a great way, especially for those of you who are tactile. Again, know yourself. Make sense? So I want to leave you with this. Prayer is not a duty or an obligation. Prayer is this wonderful blessing. What prayer is God's calling, God's invitation into relationship with Him. And I will just say, testify to my own experience, that when God grabbed a hold of my life, He created a new space in my heart for prayer, which all I mean by that is for being with Him, for getting away from, stealing away from the busyness and being with my Heavenly Father to share what's on my heart and to listen to what He has to say to me. And I want to say that too. I think prayer is, like any relationship, is half listening, okay? We speak, but we also listen. And I go to prayer expecting God to speak to me, to take scripture and impress thoughts, to nudge me. I think He does that for His kids. So we go in just time with Him, to speak to Him, to listen for His promptings in our hearts. I've experienced such deep joy and meaning in that space. So I want that space for you all. And really, I think the discipline, all this, ultimately, it's just the discipline to show up, okay? That's the ultimate discipline. Show up in prayer. What happens after that is God's responsibility. Okay, put the heavy lifting on God. Show up and say, okay, God, what are you going to do? Okay, because I'm the broken, messy sinner. You're the perfect, all-powerful Father. So the responsibility lies with you, not with me, to make this a great spiritual time. I'm being kind of facetious, but I'm being kind of serious. The discipline is show up. He is more than capable to take that time and do with it what He wants. And sometimes that might just be, I just sat still in God's presence. He didn't give me any word. I didn't experience anything, but I spent 10 minutes with God. Well, that's a great 10 minutes spent. So just show up and watch what He does. Let's pray. I want you just to take an extra minute this morning with God. And I would actually, before you leave, just in a minute or so, I want you to actually consider what might this look like for you this summer. I'm going to give you some silence. And spend time praying with God. God, what would you have for me this summer? And maybe what you're doing right now is exactly what he would have. And maybe there's something new or something different that you want to do. So let's just spend a minute of silence, listening, talking with God, thinking prayerfully about what the summer might look like. I'm going to keep something on the board, on the slide, if you want to look at that as potential approaches. But let's just take a minute of silence. You can look at that, or you can keep your eyes closed.